How are you, Matt?
I'm fine, thank you. We hear about these themes a lot. Of course, any major star, you get your David Letterman. Uma Thurman has some sort of celebrity stalker and forced confinement, obviously, in the news after that ghastly situation in Austria.
Right.
Misery, how does it combine the two?
Well, we have the chilling story. It's a chilling story, of course. Paul Sheldon is a writer renowned for his romantic fiction starring his heroine named Misery. And Paul crashes his car in a remote area of the country. He's found by Annie Wilkes, a recluse, who takes him home and tends to his wounds. She tells him she's a trained nurse. She tells him she's his number one fan. She eventually tells him that she was tried for murdering some of her patients. You know, I guess it was easier to kill them rather than change their bedpans. Mm. She also tells Paul she's not happy with how he ended his last book. In that book, he kills off Misery. This sends Annie into a rage, one of many in this play. So she keeps Paul captive by withholding his painkillers, taunting him until he writes the book she wants him to write, which miraculously resurrects Misery from the dead. On the one hand, Misery is a celebrity stalker's dream come true, to be able to spend all this time with the person you adore. And of course, for the rest of us, that situation is just horrifying. Recent headlines regarding confinement are horrifying as well because of that. I think we project the sense of claustrophobia onto this play. It might not be there, though.
Well, how well does this adaptation realize the terror of that situation? Because it is a terrifying situation.
It is a terrifying situation. Yeah. I don't think completely, and that's one of the problems with this production. Simon Moore did the adaptation. He knows, he's known from the BBC program Traffic, which was a taut thriller, if ever there was one. It was brilliant. Yeah. You're absolutely right. In Misery, we get the clear sense from the writing that Annie is a combination of charmer and wacko. But what's lacking is the sense of misery at this confining situation. You don't get that sense from Paul, and it's not the actor's fault. We don't get a sense of his despair or hopelessness that he can't get out of this situation. He's trapped there. He doesn't know how to escape because there is no despair there because the playwright hasn't written it, so the actor can't put in what's not written. Often Paul is happily typing away with no subtext of despair. That greatly diminishes the angst of the character.
You said this is one of the problems
yes.
with production. I'm paying attention here.
Yes,
so,
I know you
so,
are. Always
so what's the other?
We always have to be positive.
Okay, well, so we'll talk
we
about the positives.
We always have
first.
To be positive. All right. Well, listen, it's going to be short. the positives, the acting is the best thing about this production. As Annie, Nicola Cavendish can look like a gentle grandmother, albeit Jack the Ripper's grandmother, but never mind. And just as quickly, she can look demonic and crazed. I saw her eyes gleam across the darkened stage. It was diabolical. And she realizes Annie's disappointed, anger-fueled life. As Paul, Tom McCamus is boyishly charming. He makes you feel every aching twinge Paul experiences. You know, he's a fine actor, but he's been shortchanged by the adapter. As for the rest, it's a mess of confusion. It's over-directed. We've got an unfortunate stage design. Director David Storch has clogged up the proceedings with intrusive sound effects. Many dramatic moments are lost because part of the audience can't see them because of Bretta Gorecki's set design and her garish, hideous lighting. Paul's hospital bed is downstage center and cuts off at least half the audience from seeing what's upstage. At one point, Paul discovers scores of bottles that are covered. So he removes the covering, you know, cue the eerie music. They are garishly lit. And from where I was sitting, they all look like they've got some kind of red liquid in them.
Ooh.
You know, is it blood? Is it a year's supply of cranberry juice? What is? I don't know what it is. You know, we should be confused and thinking about such things while we're watching this play. It spoils the moment. There's the hobbling scene, the famous hobbling scene when Annie cuts off Paul's foot, preventing him from leaving. I mean, she's locked the door.
Yes.
He can't go anywhere. Okay? We've done this. It's well done in this production. Well done. But later when Paul's leg is bandaged, it looks like a foot that's bandaged and not the stump. You know, either you've cut off the leg or you haven't cut off the foot.
There's a book.
Yes.
And there's a very successful film.
Yes.
Do we need this theatrical version of Misery? I don't want it to sound like I don't care about theater, but do we need the theatrical version of this?
Short answer? No. I mean, it doesn't offer anything new that we don't already see and see better in a film or have your imagination imagine in the book. So, no, it has given several actresses acting awards because it's a rip-roaring part, Annie is, but no.
So who do we recommend this to?
I would say perhaps to Stephen King fans, but I think if you're a theater fan, you might be miserable.
Lynn, thank you.
Pleasure.